This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, it is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasuthi. It's been estimated that about 80% of the world's population still rely on medicinal plants and herbs for their primary healthcare needs. Here in Malaysia, we have a rich history of traditional therapies using herbs and an equally rich ecosystem providing these herbs, yet to many, they are forgotten. Providing insights into Malaysia's herbal heritage is Chi Beng Jin. He's a researcher from the Forest Research Institute of Malaysia. Frame is also the author of the book, or the person who actually compiled the book titled Malaysian Herbal Heritage. Welcome to the show. Beng Jin, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Beng Jin, could you just tell me how you got started in Frame? I mean, what are you qualified in? Did you do horticulture, you know, that sort of thing?
Oh, I'm a biology graduate and I did my master's in animal physiology.
Okay.
Then I start working in Frame around 2002, if I'm not mistaken. Then I've been there until now.
For the seven years now.
Yes,
you know, animal physiology.
Yes.
Now you're into the Forest Research Institute of Malaysia.
Yes.
I mean, no link whatsoever. I mean, did you always have the interest in plants?
Yes, of course. Plants has been my interest since small. Coming from a small town, then where you have greeneries all around you.
Yeah, where is this small town?
Keramaman, Terengganu.
Okay.
Yes.
That's why they have those beautiful fires from the oil platforms.
Yes, yes.
So, did you grow up, you know, tinkering around with plants? Did your family, were they into agriculture?
We live in a village and plants are norms to us. And we are like, you play with them, you mingle around with friends, and you see how their parents use plants in their daily lives.
Yeah. Did your mother use a lot of herbs from the garden?
Yes, she does.
Could you give me examples of what she used?
Some are like mint and ginger. Those are, how to say, mostly for cookings, and also some maybe for getting rid of insects and all those.
The serai wangi and all.
Serai wangi and a few more.
Citronella, isn't it?
Citronella.
Beng Jin, what got you involved in this project? I mean, you've spent 7 years in Frame and then you've decided to compile this book called The Malaysian Herbal Heritage. Why?
Actually, I'm not really the main author. The main editor is Dr. Vimala.
Okay.
And I'm just, how do you say?
Did you contribute to it?
I contributed to one of the chapters in the book under the men's health.
Okay.
And we did compile plans regarding to men's health.
Okay. What were your findings? How did all of this start?
It started when we felt that there is a need for people to know plants around us, especially in our busy day, in our busy lives, that we tend to neglect all these plants around us.
Men's health, what sort of herbs what herbs did you, you know, zoom into?
We look into the traditional uses of the more famous Tongkat Ali, and the rest are not so famous but interesting enough to be highlighted, to get people to know more about that.
Such as
the bunga kantan.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
You always put that in laksa, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Bunga kantan. What are the uses in men's health?
These is actually for general well-being of men, and of course they claim that it is also contain aphrodisiac properties.
Oh, men and aphrodisiacs. Always got to do with that, isn't
yes.
it? Is there anything else? Okay, the next herb.
Okay.
Hopefully it isn't contributing in the same way. But what is the next herb, that the next medicinal plant that you worked on?
The next medicinal plant we look into is the a few, actually. We have divided all these plants into different topics. Plants are under the general health tonics. Women's health too, not forgetting.
Yep.
And men's health, of course. Personal care, cosmetics, and also preventive medicine.
Okay. Just to go back to Tongkat Ali, bunga kantan, any others that in relation to men's health that's in the book?
Yeah, many more. We have 10. I couldn't recall.
Can't quite remember. Okay, no worries about that. Do you think that many Malaysians are even aware of the richness of these plants in our surroundings?
Many are not aware, even though I mean, we are blessed with greeneries, plants around us.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it is not too late. Even though you can see there's a generation gap, or even I can say it's a knowledge gap.
Mm-hmm.
Many tend not to even bother about the plant. Maybe it's just for decorative purpose, and it's just okay, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a plant.
Why do you think we've lost it? We lost that connection?
I guess it's a sort of interest, interest that we have to build in ourselves, the beauty of plant, mm-hmm. the usefulness of it.
Mm. You know, I can't. I'm talking from my personal perspective. I can't be bothered planting it at home. Mm-hmm. Besides the curry leaf, which can grow very easily in a pot, doesn't really need a lot of attending to. The rest, I just buy. You know, it's the easiest thing to do.
But curry leaf has medicinal values.
It does.
Yes, it does.
And it's easy to grow, right?
Yes,
and then I'm thinking, you know, in relation to the other things, like, you know, the cilantro, spring onions, onion leaves.
Yes.
When you talk about coriander leaves,
yes.
You don't use it all the time. And
yes.
I'm thinking, oh, why even bother having a plant?
Mm-hmm.
I might as well just go and buy it when I need it.
Which is true.
Yeah.
Which is true.
So,
Buying that, it's different if you buy that without knowing the properties. Now you have extra knowledge. You say, coriander leaves has certain properties.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it builds your immune system. Or, yeah, curry leaves, other than and fragrance, then it has oxidative properties.
Right. But then how much of it do you really need to consume to have that benefit for you?
For us, we think that we consume it as dietary supplements.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not to say that you have to be regimented in taking all these herbs, but we incorporate that in our daily meals.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it's a couple of curry leaves in a meal, it doesn't matter.
Yes, it doesn't
That's
matter.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay, it doesn't mean that it has got insignificant sort of an effect if I just take a few leaves and throw it in.
Yeah, the effect is how to say, long term, and if you take that continuously, yes. Yes.
Okay. And obviously you have concentrated on plants and herbs that are indigenous to Malaysia or even Southeast Asia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you spoke about Tongkat Ali just now, I'm thinking to myself, there's so much research that has been done on Tongkat Ali in Malaysia.
Yes.
Are you not reinventing the wheel? What more have you contributed towards the research that's in the book?
As for Tongkat Ali research, there are actually non-exhaustive research being done, because we are going into detail how things work at, how to say, a cellular level, and going to see how it works and how it contributes to that effect, rather than you just claim it is good for men's health.
Mm-hmm.
But now we are doing more detailed things, and work is endless.
Yes. For you?
Yes, for our team there.
Right.
Yes.
How do you work at Frame? I mean, do you have your own access to medicinal plants in the forest reserve there that you work on?
We have another team going into the forest itself, collecting plants that after we did some literature review or some previous reported properties, then we search for them and then we just bring them back to Frame.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a garden there, a herbal garden, where we can some sort of like cultivate them there. Yeah.
All right. And then after which, how successful are you in terms of commercialization?
Commercialization, we are not into that, because we are
a research institute.
Yeah, we are focusing mainly on research and development.
Right. So then after which, but you know, just out of curiosity, I mean, does it all remain research and development at that stage, or have you managed to get, you know, people like Mardi Tech in, for an example, to help you commercialize?
We have a few, but this is under, how to say, collaboration with companies, and there are a few. There are a few.
Do you feel that there's a renewed interest in medicinal plants now?
Yes, there is. There is. I guess new findings spurs the interest. New findings, especially in critical diseases, like cancer, they do really spur the interest of especially scientists, especially.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so more on a larger organizational level rather than to the individual on the street. Yeah. So are you saying then that when pharmaceutical companies come out and say, you know, this herb is actually good, it has been proven, we package it properly, we encapsulate, and then we're happy to buy it. But we're not so happy to go back and plant some of these basic stuff in our garden.
Okay, it is true, it is true. That is...
comes from complacency like myself. Everything ready to use.
it's like plug and use, something of that.
Okay, when we come back, we'll find out more about Malaysian herbs, medicinal plants and herbs. We are discussing the book called Malaysian Herbal Heritage with researcher Chi Beng Jin. If you have a question for him, send us a text message. The number is 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasuthi. The Malaysian Herbal Heritage book is available at the Forest Research Institute of Malaysia. It's about 180 ringgit. It's a beautiful book. I mean, hardcover. It comes with a jacket. And with me today is a researcher, Chi Beng Jin, who contributed to the compilation of that book. In terms of men's health, there is also information on women's health, a whole lot of other areas, isn't it, Beng Jin? You just want to go through again, just a recap?
Yes, we have divided the book into general tonics, women's health, of course, men's health, personal care, and also not to forget preventive medicine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how did you come up with all of these sections? Was there work that was already done and then you decided to include it, or did you work the other way around?
We have gone through databases and also the commonly used plants in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And we felt that it should be highlighted. In fact, we have more than those plants that we gave in that book. We are some sort of like in a difficult situation to pick and choose.
Which ones to go in.
Yes, yes. So we thought of like we mix those famous ones and with those who, that are lesser known ones, yes.
Okay, let's just talk about the Bunga Kantan for an example, right? You said what you're doing is a lot more research on a cellular level. What did you find about the Bunga Kantan?
Bunga Kantan,
maybe you just want to tell us about the Bunga Kantan. I understand what it is, but for those who don't, what is it called? And, you know, the scientific name, things like that.
Oh, Bunga Kantan is actually under the ginger family.
Yep.
Okay. It is used in cookings, especially in to provide fragrance to the cookings. And, of course, it is more famous in Malay dishes where you eat that even as ulam. And for this book, we focus on men's health, especially we found out that even myself, I didn't know that it is used for men's health, especially for the aphrodisiac effect. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the other herbs, which you know, you said there were 10 herbs, are they contributing to general health of men in preventive medicine?
Yes, it does. It do contribute to general well-being. So I guess general well-being is more important, where you will perform better if you are healthy.
Yep. Mm. How do you prove the effectiveness, or that scientifically, how do you prove that these herbs actually work?
Other than reported traditional claims, that we found out that from research, they have done something on animals, they have done something on rats, and then somehow it correlates back to human.
Okay. Is this strong enough for you to use as evidence? Because the normal argument or the debate is always with mainstream medical doctors is that in terms of medicinal plants and herbs, it isn't quite scientifically proven. Some have gone through and come out. Turmeric, for an example, is one that's doing quite well. Do you find that a problem for the work that you do?
We have two different school of thoughts, actually. One is hardcore, modern medicine, and the rest are, they still find it beneficial to look into sources from medicinal plants. So we do not say that medicinal plants stand as a second class choice, but it complements modern medicine.
Mainstream
medicine, yes.
Okay.
In terms of chemicals and new findings.
Does the book go into how you should be preparing these herbs for your health?
The book gave us a general overview of that plant and what is being claimed, the uses, especially in the traditional claims. And also some sections, they also have tips of how to use that.
Mm. Okay, could you give me an example?
I could not recall, but it's more of the herbal preparation of teas and simple preparation of infusions.
Right. Mm. What are some of the common mistakes that we make when we are consuming medicinal plants and herbs?
We think that medicinal plants are safe to consume. But sometimes we tend to forget that they do contain toxins and poisons too. So at FRIM, we do look into this matter of safety, saying that, you consume medicinal plants, but how much do you take?
Yep.
So at our research level, we determine that level consumable and safe for consumption.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What are some medicinal plants we should be staying away from?
It is not so easy to say that because some plants are, very toxic.
Such as the
forest species. Mm-hmm. Some are very toxic, and toxic doesn't mean it's bad, and it is good, especially for maybe cancer research.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, so it is not to say to label it is bad or good, but for us we will custom made that fine-tune that based on diseases.
Okay.
Yes.
Marty, I understand, also does research like this.
Yes, yes.
Do you guys find that, do you interact a lot and to make sure?
Yeah, we do collaborate with each other and especially with same field of research.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. And if we are planning to start incorporating some of these herbs into our diet, where do we start?
We can start by using them as food, and also if you are confident enough, then you shall try that as tea or infusion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, examples of how I can start using herbs in my diet?
That can be used as ulam, and you can make that into jam and all those.
Jam?
Yeah. Yes.
What can be used in jam?
Especially roselle, you know that, roselle. Mm-hmm. The so-called...
Ribena plant.
Ribena plant, yes, yes.
Which it isn't actually ribena, but...
I don't know how that comes
yes,
out.
Yes, and that is something that grows quite easily.
We find it... it is high in vitamin C. Yeah.
Hmm. So you can just take it, pluck it and eat it as well?
Not really fresh because it's very sour.
Mm-hmm.
So we will process that into juices and also make that into jams.
Mm-hmm. What else? Inspire me so I can start a herb garden.
Gingers especially.
Okay.
Yeah, there's so many species of gingers. Some are ornamental, some are good for cooking. Mm-hmm.
Any others?
Other than that, you have trees like neem, and you have this drumstick tree.
Yes.
Hmm.
The neem tree can be quite tedious to actually plant because of the roots. The roots can actually
the
be
roots can actually
quite
goes
a
through,
bit of a problem.
The concrete and all those. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
But otherwise, I mean, I'd love to have it, but that's my only concern because we live in small areas.
Yes, yes.
It suddenly you find roots breaking up drains and the tiles in your porch start to pop up,
true.
That sort of thing.
True.
Yeah, the drumstick tree, that too, Indians very famous for that.
Yes, it's very famous.
Any others?
Any other than that, mostly potted plants, small plants like mint
aloe vera.
Aloe vera, yes, that's a very good example. Aloe vera.
Mm-hmm. Some of the pages in the book contain pictures, not just of herbs, but also of supplements made from them. I mean, under what circumstance are supplements preferable?
Okay, these photographs are examples of products from FRIM. And these are I mean, they come from research and also data that we have collected, and we find it that, it can be beneficial for others, and that's why some of the pictures there shows, give us an example that, hey, it's not only you have to eat leaves, but you can develop that into biscuits, incorporate that into food, and use that as ingredients for shampoo, or cosmetics.
A curry leaf biscuit. You never know, right?
Yes.
You will never know. A savory one, maybe. You know, herbal therapies are always said to be preferable because they have less side effects or fewer side effects. Correct. But that might not be the case all the time.
I agree with you. When you say less side effect, doesn't mean that it is free from side effects. Herbal do contain substance that are toxic to human being, and sometimes even cause death. And it's actually a natural defense against insects and predators from eating them. But somehow these chemicals are beneficial to deter diseases, to some sort of like give us a new idea of how to go into research.
Okay. Nicholas Cheong is asking, how about Dukong Anak? I've never heard of that.
Oh, Dukong Anak, yeah.
What is that? Can you tell me?
Dukong Anak is another plant which the characteristic is that you can find the small the fruits under the leaves. That's how they call it, Dukong Anak.
I see. Mm-hmm. All right.
It's some sort of like a mother carrying a baby under the leaves.
Just when you look at it. But what is it used for?
Dukong Anak, if I'm not mistaken, it is one of the herbs that we highlighted in the book. And it is for, if I'm not mistaken, it's for general tonic. Mm-hmm. General tonic.
Mm-hmm. For people who are already on medications, I mean, do they need to consult with the doctor before using herbs or even therapeutic medicinal plants?
Yes, of course. We do not take risks in this matter because we know that plants do interact with modern medication, and some even cause harm to the patient. Mm-hmm. So it is good to seek professional advice. Yeah, ask the doctor first.
Right. Yes. Recently, I heard of a plant or a grass called snake grass.
Yes.
Which apparently, some claim has some sort of an effect or anti-cancer medicinal properties. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you know much about that?
Yes. Sabah snake grass.
That's right. Yes, Sabah snake grass.
Sabah snake grass. Mm-hmm. It's so-called a new kid on the block.
Mm-hmm. So it's just discovered.
Not to say just discovered, it's suddenly popped into our herbal scenario, because it is one of the focus plants for our herbal industry. And for that claim of treating cancer, we are still under investigation, and much work has to be done on that.
What have you found? What sort of properties have you found?
We are at the very initial stage here, looking into the how the chemicals in this plant interact with our human immune system. Mm-hmm. While there are more work has been done in Thailand, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. So if you know, I do have cancer, for an example, is it safe for me to actually just take and consume this grass? I'm not sure how you're supposed to. Are you supposed to boil it? Are you supposed to? Because there are a lot of people out there who are advocating that, which to me is a little scary because you really don't know what sort of an effect it has.
It is true. If we are in doubt, it is best to not to try. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Rather than we heard testimonials and claims of people being so-called cured while taking that plant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So always talk to your doctor about
it.
Is it safe to use the book as a shopping guide?
Shopping guide, well, it's not to equate that with normal shopping, but it is sort of like a catalogue. It's a collection of plants that we sometimes we don't even know that it exists in our garden. So it is some sort of like an awareness. I mean, it's a it's kind of like let us get to know more of the plant, and then we tend to be aware of that.
Right. I'm just thinking, right? I mean, and it's not to kill the sales of the book, but a lot of things now you can Google.
Yes.
You can find this information online.
Right.
So how different is the book?
Our book, normally, we focus on the plants that are easily available in Malaysia. And some are forest plants. And it is, I can say that it is special to Malaysia. And the information that we have incorporated into that are reliable ones, instead of like when you Google something in the internet, like, 2,000 hits,
yep.
You do not know which to choose. Some may not be as accurate, but we ensure that the information that we put in are accurate ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does it upset you that we're clearing a lot of our forest, and a lot of these indigenous plants are in there? And we're destroying it. We sort of fail to understand that there's a value to all of this.
Yes. It is somehow sad to know that deforestation is still happening rampantly. And I think it is sort of people look at it as fast cash. I mean, they do not look at long terms, mm-hmm. the benefit that they can get from all these plants,
yep.
long terms especially. So it is how that we educate people. It's how that we create an awareness that there's something in there,
right.
that might provide cure.
You never know.
Yes, we never know.
Yep. Mm. And there's a huge value to the whole medicinal plant
yes.
industry.
Yes, it's true.
And we have it in our backyard, literally.
True, in our garden. Mm.
What message would you like to leave us with on the subject of medicinal herbs in Malaysia's herbal heritage?
Okay. We are living in a multicultural society. We are really blessed with our rainforest, and these two combinations is so special when you look at how medicinal plants are being used in Malaysia. It can be a melting pot of different races using the same thing. So when we discover that the Malays will be using this, and in fact the Chinese also will be using the same plant, so it is like a multiracial cross-cultural thing,
mm-hmm.
and it is unique here because we have the resources from our forests.
So the book is available at the Forest Research Institute of Malaysia,
yes,
which
yes.
is at Frame. It's 180
mm-hmm.
ringgit.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned earlier, it's a hard-covered book with a jacket.
Right.
Is there a website that we can go on and find out more?
A website? You can
just Google Frame.
Google Frame, and then you can go into our bookshop. If not, then you can contact me directly.
How do we do that?
My email is bengjin
mm-hmm.
at Frame. .gov.my.
Okay, that's BENGJIN.
Correct.
At
frim.gov.my.
.gov.my.
Yes.
Thank you very much for joining me today.
Okay, welcome.
Chi Beng Jin, a researcher on the book titled Malaysian Herbal Heritage on the Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.